Lent has begun. Traditionally, people tend to give up something they enjoy during Lent. So is there anyone here who is giving up daily cup of coffee? Or resisting the sweets usually enjoy? No one? Oh, yeah. Perhaps someone is considering fasting for 40 days. Wow. During Lent, it's a small gesture of faith to share in the suffering of Jesus. It's also a commitment to resist every temptation and overcome it with faith. I have also followed this tradition every year. But this year, I propose a different approach. Instead of giving up something, let's focus on doing something meaningful. For example, consider setting aside time each day for prayer. A prayer calendar is available in the newsletter and in the narthex. Express love to your family using the language of affection. Set aside $1 to $2 a day for charitable giving. Reach out to church members who haven't attended recently. As we observe our surroundings, we find numerous opportunities for positive action. I firmly believe that if Jesus were here among us, He would rejoice in our proactive goodness rather than in our reticence and abstinence. The COVID-19 pandemic revealed our vulnerability as human beings. Often unable to accomplish as much as we desire, despite significant advances in science and technology, it's staggering to witness the devastating effect of a single invisible virus. These are catastrophic times from natural disasters such as earthquakes, wildfires, tsunamis, and hurricanes to various human-made disasters such as wars and systemic injustices that violate human rights. Calamities around us, and moments like that, we ask, where is God? Where does God seem inactive in the midst of our suffering? Often people have sought answers in sin, believing that our sins bring God's wrath and punishment. In places like Japan, with a small Christian population, earthquakes are sometimes attributed to divine retribution for unbelief. But do we apply the same judgment to earthquakes in California? No, we don't. We tend to judge things easily that don't directly affect us. Those who profess faith in God are considered virtuous, while non-believers are considered evil. Some still disregard and vilify other religions simply because they differ from Christianity. Similarly, the Bible contains stories that support such perspective. One notable example is the story of Noah's Ark. Genesis 6, 5 through 8 describes God's regret over the wickedness of human beings and God's decision to spare Noah and his family. God personally regrets the work of creation. God is angry at the fullness of wickedness in the world. Does this mean that everyone except Noah's family is evil? Does it mean that they deserve to die? Or newlyweds, babies, or people who lived with disabilities from birth, all deserving of death because of sin? Of course, the Bible portrays God as judging people for their sins. But this is an interpretation by the biblical writers, not a direct statement by God. Moreover, there is a reason why the biblical writers expressed it that way. They didn't understand the nature of natural phenomena. They didn't know why it rained or how disease came about. Therefore, they simply concluded that these events were caused by sin. But if we look at this story only as a judgment for sin, we miss something more significant. While on the surface, the flood story may seem to speak of God's judgment for sin, when we examine the overall structure of the narrative, we find that the sections dealing with judgment for sin and the destruction of human beings are relatively brief. The rest of the lengthy narrative is devoted to the building of the ark, the gathering of various creatures into the ark, and the scene of the waters receding after the flood. What am I saying? The story of Noah's flood is not primarily about God's judgment, but about salvation. God's acts of salvation overwhelms the whole story. Isn't it something God did? You might think so. But the flood story is not unique to the Bible. Flood stories also appeared in Babylonian literature, such as the Epic of Gilgamesh. Flood stories are found in various civilizations because human civilization originated along major rivers. The point is, what is our faith perspectives on such disasters? If we see them only as judgment, God becomes someone to be feared and avoided. Just to avoid punishment, will we live in fear to avoid God's wrath? The element of judgment is there to emphasize God's redemptive work, not to instill fear. Today's passage contains God's promise of salvation to us. God makes a covenant with Noah. When you think of covenant in the Old Testament, we think of figures like Abraham and Moses. But the covenants with Abraham and Moses are conditional. It's about receiving blessings for obeying God's words and receiving punishment for disobeying. But there are no such conditions in the covenant with Noah. It emphasizes that God is the agent of salvation, and the opportunity for salvation is open without conditions. In other words, we cannot save ourselves. Can salvation come through the law? The law was originally a means of salvation, but it eventually became a burden of salvation. It emphasizes the impossibility of salvation through human effort and reminds us that salvation is a gift from God alone. As a sign of this promise, God showed the rainbow. The rainbow in Hebrew means the bow of war. Bow of war. The fact that it hangs in the sky means that there will be no more destruction. When we see the rainbow as a sign of the promise, it is a message to live in faith in the promise of salvation. It's not a message of fear of judgment, but a message of hope. Living in hope of salvation means restoring the image of God and living life as it was meant to be lived. It means resisting personal and structural evils. They interfere. So living in hope of salvation means restoring the image of God and living life as it was meant to be lived. It means resisting personal and structural evils that interfere with the life God created and intended for us. The historical background to the story of Noah's Ark is the Babylonian exile. Those who were captured during the Babylonian exile saw their faith as similar to great flood. When they heard the story of Noah told by their ancestors, they believed that the evil forces of Babylon would not destroy them, and that salvation would surely come. It is a statement of faith that urges us to resist the fearful evils and embrace the hope of salvation. What are the evils for you? What is your Babylon? What is the flood that fills us with fear? Is it the future? Is it money? Success? If I had to choose, I'd say it's experiencing personal loss and disadvantages. People are afraid of setbacks and loss. In this generation, living conditions have generally improved compared to the past. But why are we often dissatisfied? It stems from a sense of relative deprivation, fueled by the fear that while others seem content, we alone suffer deprivation and struggle to thrive. To cope with this fear, many build their own arks, seeking refuge from life challenges. Even within the church, there is a tendency to isolate ourselves from the perceived evil and sinfulness of the world by retreating into a sanctuary-like mindset. But is the church really like Noah's Ark in ancient times? Is this perspective valid? This perspective reflects a misguided faith. It comes from a fear of experiencing setbacks in our pursuit of salvation. Instead, following the example of Jesus, who came for the salvation of the whole world, the church should remain open and inclusive, extending hope and salvation to all. Regardless of our efforts to build personal arcs, no one can escape the inevitability of death. No human-made refuges can protect us from mortality. God presented the rainbow to Noah as a symbol of promise. It's a promise of salvation. We have received a new dimension of the rainbow. It is Jesus Christ. As we enter the season of Lent, let us recommit ourselves to embracing new life. The waters of Noah's day symbolized judgment, but the waters of Jesus represent baptism, the cleansing waters of salvation. May this Lenten season inspire us to shift our focus from building personal ark to becoming agent of salvation for others, embodying the rainbow of hope and promise. Let us pray. Gracious God, we often feel overwhelmed by the weight of life's challenges with every breath we take. In those moments, help us to look at the rainbow of Jesus you have shown us and find the path of life. When fear surrounds us, fill us with a new life and give us the strength to move forward boldly, holding on to you. Give us the faith to believe that it is your grace, not the ark we've built, that leads us to salvation. Enable us to experience the unshakable hope of salvation in our daily lives and become the rainbow of hope that brings hope to the world. In the name of Jesus, who has given us the grace of new life, we pray. Amen.